All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. I want to first begin really by thanking Yehuda and Moshe and Josh for giving the shiur while I was away, and it's a big zuchus to me to continue this morning. So we're beginning a beautiful sugya today on Saf Beis 92, right at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says the following: Afa pishu no sinlo. So remember, we've been occupied for the last number of Mishnayos speaking about the obligation for compensation, right? Then we've been speaking about again the four different categories for compensation. Tzadik Beis 92a, the Mishnah. Sa'af api shunosin lo, even though you pay back damages to someone, ein nimchal lo ad sheyivakesh mimenu. We'll say, now the Mishnah introduces to us a totally un-babakama-like topic, which is the idea that even though a person has paid back damages, nevertheless, a person must also go ahead and ask for mechila. A person must also go ahead and ask for forgiveness. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Va'ata hashev es eishes haish." So, interestingly enough, we will explore this more in the Gemara. But the Mishnah brings the proof from Avram and Avimelech. We know that when Avram Avinu went to Gerar because of regional famine, so Avimelech takes Sarah Imenu, thinking that Sarah was Avimelech was Avram's sister. So, remember, Avimelech's home is stricken with a terrible plague, which we'll discuss in the Gemara. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avimelech and says to Avimelech, "And you return the wife of this man, Kinovihu, because he is a prophet." So we'll see, the Gemara is going to explain that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avimelech was the following: return Sarah to Avram, and Avram will daven on your behalf, i.e. he will forgive you. He will forgive you. So from here the Mishnah says that you see that the halacha is that even though you give someone, you pay someone damages, quote unquote, the halacha is you also have to ask for forgiveness for the pain that you have caused them. And we'll say, how do we know that if somebody asks you for forgiveness and you don't forgive them, that you are an achzori? That the word achzori is a very strong word. Achzori literally means a cruel person. How do I know that if somebody asks me for forgiveness and I don't grant that, that I am an achzor, I am cruel? Shene emar, vayispalo Avraham ela Elokim, vayirpo Elokim es Avimelech. Because the pasuk says that Avram Avinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ribono Shel Olam healed Avimelech. So the Mishnah's understanding over here, the fact that Avram Avinu davened on behalf of Avimelech, indicates to us that he accepted Avimelech's apology. So the Mishnah goes on to the next case. HaOmer Sameh Es Eini, Kata Es Yagdi, Es Yodi, Shavar Ragli Chayiv. I will say, if I go over to Reuben and I say to Reuben, blind my eye, right, or cut off my hand, or break my leg, so we'll say, even though I'm commanding Reuben to do this, nevertheless, if Reuben does it, Chayiv, he's liable. Amnas lifter, but we'll say, if I tell him, do these things to me, and I hereby exempt you from all liability, Talocha is Chayiv, he's still Chayiv. However, kara es ksusi, shaver es kadi, but if I tell Reuven, do me a favor, rip my clothing, or break my jug, so both said the halacha is chayiv. If he does so, he's chayiv. However, amanas liftar potter, but if I tell him, do this on the condition that I exempt you from all financial liability, then he is in fact potter. So both said, you see the Mishnah is drawing a chilek between the following. You're always chayiv for visiting physical harm upon another person, even if the person says, I exempt you from liability. Masha'in kain, if I invite someone to materially, to monetarily damage me, and I actively exempt them from liability, then in fact they are exempt. Also kain li'ish ploni, I'm an asifter, but this is an interesting case. I say to Reuven, do me a favor, go ahead and damage Shimon, but I hereby free you from all liabilities. So we also hear this case, meaning I'm telling Reuven to damage Shimon, and I'm freeing Reuven from liability to Shimon. So the halacha is, we'll discuss this case in the Gemara, achayiv bein begufa bein mamora. So we'll say in that case, now we're going to discuss who is chayiv, but in Pashtos it's Reuven who's chayiv, whether he damaged Shimon's person or he damaged Shimon's property. Says the Gemara. We'll say now this is some really beautiful Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, kol elu sha'amru d'mei boshto, aval tsaro, afilu kol avilu hevi kol eli nevayu sheba'olam einim chalo, So up until now, there says the Gemara, we've been speaking about Dmei Bashto. So we'll say Dmei Bashto means we've established that when you humiliate someone, there is a category of payment for humiliation. We've established that. However, when it comes to Tsaro, so we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Tsaro, about Tsar, Shadoik al Bashto Eino Nimchol. But we'll say there's another element called Tsar. Now this is different than the Tsar that we've been discussing until now, because Tsar we've been discussing until now is real physical suffering, but there's another category of damage called just pain, emotional pain, that Chazal recognized that as much as we tried to quantify different categories of damage, there is a category called Tsar, and Tsar is mental pain and suffering. So when you inflict mental pain and suffering on someone, even if you bring them called Eilei Nevi'ot, so we'll say Eilei Nevi'ot were like very high quality rams, even if you bring them all the rams in the world, Ein nimchal, you are not forgiven for the mental suffering you visited upon someone, ad sheyevakish mimenu, until you ask forgiveness from the individual. Shne'emar, hashev es eshes ha'ish, ki nabihu ve'yispalel ba'adach. So as the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avimelech, return the wife of this man, reference to Sarai Imenu to Avram, because he is a prophet and he will daven on your behalf. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? The Eishes Navi Bayaduri Eishes Acher Lo Bayaduri. Is it only because she is the wife of a prophet that you have to give her back? But a regular wife, you wouldn't have to give back, or the wife of a regular man, you wouldn't have to return. To which the Gemara says, no. Amar Rabbi Shlomo Rachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. We'll say first wide line on Sadik Beis 92a. Amar Rabbi Shlomo Rachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Hashev Eishes Haish Mikomakom. You'd have to return her no matter what. She's a married woman. Udika Amrit Hagoy Gam Tzadik Taro. And Yavi Melech, that's what you said. Avi Melech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, why would you punish me? Hagoy Gam Tzadik Taro. So would you go ahead and punish someone who's totally virtuous? In other words, Avi Melech says, listen, I didn't do anything. Which is true, by the way. He didn't even lay a hand on Sarai Imenu. Right, by the way, not because he actively chose not to, but because he was stricken with a plague, which we'll discuss in just a few moments. Halohu amarli achosihi vihi gamhi amri achihu. So to which Avimelech said, listen, what do you want from me? I asked Avram Avinu, what is her relation to you? And he said she's my sister. And I asked her, what's this man's relation to you? And she said he's my brother. So the Gemara says, Navihu ukvar limet achsanoi shebaliir. So to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond, Avimelech, come on. The man who you're dealing with is a prophet, and he knows the following. When a visitor comes to town, al iske achila ushtia shol and also, or al iske isha shol and also. To which, let me ask you, when a visitor comes to town, what's the most appropriate thing to ask him about? Should you be asking about his wife, if it's his wife or it's his sister? Or should you be asking him to make sure he has a place to stay, he has a place to eat? Avimelech, come on. We all know at the end of the day what your intentions were. And the fact that Avraham Avinu is a Navi as well, he knows what your intentions were as well. Therefore, ask forgiveness from him. Remember, this is Gemara's whole point. That when you hurt someone, it's not just enough to make financial restitution, to make up for the financial harm inflicted, but you have to make up for the emotional harm inflicted as well. And the way you make up for that, ultimately, again, is by the asking for forgiveness. And of course, again, the follow-up to that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram will forgive you. Because when someone asks for forgiveness, the correct midah is to accept that forgiveness and to move on. So the Gemara says, just as an aside, Mikama ben Noach, Sheneherak, Shaila Lomod, V'lo Lomod. We'll say from here we see that a ben Noach, now, literally means he's killed over the fact that he should have known, but did not. Now, leaving aside whether or not that's a literal thing, what the Gemara means over here is that B'nai Noah are responsible ultimately to know what is right. And a lack of knowledge is not a proper defense. We'll see, by the way, it's not just by B'nai Noah, it's by people in general. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shahaya lo lomod, Rashi says, Derech eretz v'lo lomod. For the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avimelech, come on, Avimelech, you know better than this, or you should have known better than this. When a new person comes to your community, the first question you ask them about is not whether or not that woman by their side is their wife or their sister. The first thing you ask about, ultimately, again, is do they have food and do they have lodging? So the fact that Avimelech, had something happened, would have been responsible for his conduct, even though he, quote-unquote, had an excuse, ultimately again for his behavior. Nevertheless, he would have been held accountable. Ki atzar, So the Pasuk of Osei says that when Avimelech took Sarah into his home, the Pasuk says, Ki atzor atzar Hashem ba'ad korecham lebeis Avimelech. Literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed off every womb in the house of Avimelech. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Shtei atziros halalu lama. Why does it say atzor atzar? Closed off twice. So, achas bi'ish b'shech v'azera, shtayim bi'isha shech v'azera v'leida. To teach us that there are two closing offs, that a man was unable to emit semen, shech v'azera, and a woman was unable from her body to give birth, and also to emit any zera that was within her body. B'mas nisatana, we learned elsewhere, shtayim bi'ish shech v'azera k'tanim, that there were two closing offs of a man, because we were just trying to figure out, atzor atzar means that there were two stoppages, two closing offs. So in the second version, that there were two stoppages in man, shech v'azera semen uk'tanim and urine, meaning that they were unable to release these two things from the body, shlosha bi'isha, and three closing off of a woman, shech v'azera, her body was unable to emit any zera that might have been in her, k'tanim, urine, v'leida, and birth. Ravina Amar, shalosh bi'ish, shech v'azera k'tanim p'yitabas. So Ravina says there were three closings off. Number one of shech v'azera, semen, k'tanim urine, and p'yitabas means people aren't able to defecate. Arba'a bi'isha, four different stoppages by a woman, shech v'azera, leida, kitanim upitabas. So for a woman, there were four: the ability to emit any semen in the body that was in the body already, leida, giving birth, kitanim, urine, and pitabas, ultimately, again, the inability to defecate. The idea is this was the plague that ultimately afflicted Avimelech's home when he decided to take Sarah Imenu. Va'ad kol rechem. So the pasuk goes on to say that literally, on behalf or as on every womb. We'll say, in that plague, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had visited this plague upon the house of Avimelech because he took Sari Iminu, even the roosters did not lay their eggs. Amr, or the chickens didn't lay their eggs. So we'll say, see now what the Gemara is going to do pretty much for the rest of the daf today, for the rest of Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, is go through a series of sayings and discuss again the meaning of these adages. Now, interesting enough, we'll see, not all of them are necessarily rabbinic adages, but they were common sayings that Chazal felt had incredible wisdom. So, Amrali Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari, Minoha Milso Dam Rabbanon, where did this idea that the rabbis say, if somebody requests compassion on behalf of his friend, and he requires the same thing, he has answered first. We'll say, in other words, that if Lamaisa, I daven on someone else's behalf, but I need that same thing that I'm davening for on someone else's behalf, let me say that clear. If I'm davening for someone else, and I need that same thing that the other individual needs as well. In other words, I'm davening for Reuven's Refuah Shleima, and I need a Refuah Shleima as well. How do I know that I, the petitioner, am answered first? Meaning that in the zechus of davening for someone else, for something that I myself need, that I am answered first. D'chsev v'Hashem shav es shavus Iyov bispalalo ba'ad re'ehu. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu returned the remnant to Iyov when he davened on behalf of his friend. So Bosa, see from here, leaving aside exactly what Iyov was davening for, but Lamaisa, again, whatever Iyov was davening for, he was given first before he, for his friend. Amarle, at mehasam va'ana me'ana amina mehacha. You say from there, I say from here. V'ispala Avram el Elokim. Well, so the pasuk says that Avram Avinu davened on behalf of Avimelech, and Chalish Baruch Hu healed Avimelech, his wife, and his maidservants. Uksiv, and I will say, what does it say immediately afterwards? Vashem pakad esara kasher amar. Right afterwards, what does the pasuk say? That the Ribono Shel Olam remembered Sarah for what? For pregnancy, as he had promised. Kasher Amar Avram El Avimelech. So we'll say the Gemara understands over here, Avram Avinu davened that the wombs of Avimelech's home be opened up again. That was something that Avram Avinu himself and Sarah Avinu themselves wanted in the zechus of davening for someone else. The zechus of davening for someone else, their tefillos were answered. Incredible Gemara. Amar Li Rava, the Rabbi Bar Mari. So Rava said, Rabbi Amari, Minoha Melchi Dami Inshi. From where do we know this statement that people see? Now you see, by the way, the distinctions in the verbiage over here. In the previous teaching, it was Minoha Melchi Dami Rabbanon. Where is this thing? Where the rabbis make this statement? Where do we know it from? In this, when we get to this statement, it's Minoha Melchi Dami Inshi. So this was like what's the right word? I guess a saying. This is a better word.
Adage.
Right? An adage. Right? So from where do we know this popular adage? So again, this is not rabbinic in nature. This is the kind of stuff that Chavos says is an incredible musar by itself. Because remember, this is what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos means when it says, Ezu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam. Chavos says there's a lot of wisdom in the world. And that wisdom is not only to be found with Rabbanim or Tamidi Chachamim or great thinkers. There's a lot of wisdom just amongst common people. So the Gemara says, where do we see this? Where do we see this adage? From where do we know this adage? Bahadei Hutsa Lucky Karba. It's a good adage. Literally, with the thorns, sometimes the cabbage gets stricken as well. Now, what does that mean? So take a look at Rashi. Bahadei Hutsa Lucky Karba. Kotz Hagadol Itza Akruv. Kishabala Akruv. Ham Nakar Akruv Imo. Vidim Zaloki Bishilo. Kilomar Shchena. But say sometimes when you have thorns that grow around cabbage, so when you uproot the thorns, you end up uprooting the cabbage as well. So from where do we know this saying? So Rashi HaKadosh points out that what does this mean? It means how do we know that sometimes that when a person has wicked neighbors, sometimes what happens to the wicked neighbor sweeps up the innocent individuals as well. Amar Lei D'Chsid, because the Pasuk says, Lama tarivo elai kulchem pashatem bi nu'um Hashem. Because it will say the Pasuk, in Yirmiyahu says, why would you fight with me? All of you have rebelled against me. So here God is talking to the Navi Yirmiyahu. And what does he say to Yirmiyahu? Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. All of you have rebelled against me. So who is he? Who is included in the all of you? Included in the all of you is Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself as well. So you see from here that Yirmiyahu HaNavi is included again with all of Klal Yisrael and is considered to be rebellious like Klal Yisrael because sometimes the cabbage gets uprooted with the thorns. You say from there, we say from here, Ad ana me antem lishmar mitzvosai v'sorosai. How long will you refuse? This is Vayomer Shema Moshe. Ad ana me antem lishmar mitzvosai v'sorosai. So Moshe, this is after, right? So this is after Chet Egel, son of the golden calf. How long will you refuse to listen to my mitzvos? So here God is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu as well, and including Moshe Rabbeinu in this statement. So you see from here that what? That sometimes again the cabbage gets uprooted together with the thorns. Amli Rabba the Rabba Bar Amari, Ksiv, Umikteach of Lakacha Mishanashim. So I say the Pasuk says that when Yosef brought his brothers to meet Paro, so he didn't bring all of his brothers. Instead, he brought five of them. So the Gemara says, Man Ninhu Chamisha, which five did he go ahead and take to meet Paro? So Amar Lehach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Osan Shuch Polu B'Shemos. He took the brothers whose names were doubled in Parshas Bezos Habracha. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, we know, if you take a look at Rashi just a moment, Osam Shuch Polu B'Shemosam B'Birchas Moshe. So we'll say, there were five brothers, there were five Shvatim, that Moshe Rabbeinu repeats their names twice in the Brachos of Bezos Habracha. Rashi points out, it's Dan, Zvulun, God, Asher and Naphtali. Now, why did Moshe Rabbeinu repeat their names? Because apparently they were the weaker of the brothers. So Yosef purposely brings his weaker brothers before Paro. Why? Because what is Yosef concerned about? He's concerned that his brothers are going to be conscripted as generals in the Paro's army. So what does he do? He brings like the, I don't want to say scrawnier ones, not the Nebucha ones, right? He brings the less built ones, in an effort to go ahead and say, okay, these are nice like Hamish guys, you know, whatever, welcome to Egypt, you know, go do whatever you do, and that's it. So the way we know the weaker ones, because those are the ones that Moshe Rabbeinu felt the need to bless twice, to bolster their blessing. One second. Yehuda nami ichpulei michba. But that's not, that can't be true. Why? Because Yehuda's name is also double double. And Yehuda was amongst the strongest of, was if not amongst, certainly, if not the strongest, amongst the strongest of all the Shvatim. Yet Yehuda's name is doubled in Vezal Sabrach. Rabbah said, is amazing. Amrle le milsi hu dechbal. No. Yehuda's name was doubled for a different reason of his Zosai Bracha. We'll say why. Because Yehuda needed extra tefilos. Why did Yehuda need extra tefilos? The Amr Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr Rabbi Yonason, Mai dechsev yichi ruvein va'al yamos vihi misav mispar v'zos li Yehuda. What does the pasuk when it says when it, what does the pasuk mean when it says, let Reuven live and let him not die. Vihi misav mispar, let his men number in great numbers. Vizos li Yehuda, and this is for Yehuda. What does this mean? Call, well, so listen to this Gemara. Kol osan arba'im shana shal Yisrael b'midbar. Hayu atzmosav shal Yehuda migulgalin ba'ara. This is amazing. All 40, remember what I say, I want to make something clear. You know that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, so they didn't just take the remains of Yosef, they took the remains of all of the Shvatim with them, ultimately to Eretz Yisrael. So this is what we know. Again, you can go to the burial places of many of the Shvatim to this in Eretz Yisrael. So you wonder to yourself, how did they get back to Eretz Yisrael? They all died in Mitzrayim, to which we know they took the remains of the Shvatim. So for all 40 years, the bones of Yehuda were rattling in his casket. Now, why were the bones rattling in the casket? Well, so this is wild. Take a look at Rashi. Migugolin ba'aron, lo haya shalado kayames. His skeleton was not intact. Umichuberes was not connected. Why? Get ready for this. Mipnei nidui. Because Rabbi said Yehuda had accepted upon himself a nidui. A nidui is an excommunication or a ban. Dekarmele liyakov, im lo avienu eilecha, v'chatasi lecha kol hayomim. V'af apishan is kayim hatnai, nafklo mesechus makus. This is wild. So remember, Yehuda, when he was trying to convince Yaakov Avinu to allow Binyamin to journey with them to Mitzrayim, so he said to Yaakov Avinu, if I don't bring back Binyamin, v'chatasi l'chakolim, which means he placed himself under a ban of excommunication. But said the words of a tzaddik are so impactful that they create a reality. Even though Yehuda fulfilled his end of the promise, and Binyamin was brought back, the nidui, the excommunication, still devolved upon him, which Rabosai means that Yehuda was barred from entry into the Olam Ha'emes. Amazing. Yehuda was not allowed into Olam Haba. The way we see was not into Olam Haba is because his physical remains were not at rest. That symbolized the fact that his neshama was not, that his soul was not allowed into Olam Haba. So all 40 years, the bones are rattling around in the casket. Ultimately, again, because of this need, because of this self-imposed excommunication. So what happens? Says the Gemara, until Moshe Rabbeinu came and davened on behalf of Yehudin. What did he say? Amar the father, Ribono shel Olam, mi garam l'Reuven sheyoda. Who is the one who ultimately set the example that allowed for Reuven to admit his mistake? And Rabbi said, what's the mistake of Reuven? When he switched the beds. Right, when he's right. There are a couple of mistakes. But the major one that they're referring to over here is when he switched the beds. Remember, when Rachel Imenu died, so everyone expected that Yaakov would move his bed to the tent of Leah. He didn't. He moved his bed to the tent of Bilhah. Reuven was incredibly upset, incensed over the lack of cover to his mother. He moved Yaakov Avinu's bed himself. Torah considered this such a severe transgression that it literally says as if Reuven slept with his father's concubine. So who caused Reuven to admit his mistake? So it says, Yehuda. It was Yehuda. Because you must remember, Yehuda ultimately, again, is the paradigm for confession. When did Yehuda confess? With the whole episode with Tamar. Remember, Tamar is about to be executed because people think she committed adultery. And she gives Yehuda not. If you want to take responsibility, fine. If not, I'm not going to name you by name. And yet, he owns the situation. So Yehuda's courage to admit his actions allowed for Reuven to admit his actions. And therefore, again, miyad, shama Hashem kol Yehuda. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the voice of Yehuda, and therefore, al ivarei l'shafa, his bones entered their sockets. So Yehuda's remains came to rest. Lo hava kamaski lemesipta derakia, but they would still not allow Yehuda into the yeshiva shamala. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Ve'alamo to the Enu." Moshe Rabbeinu davened again, bring him onto his people. So Moshe, this is all the pasuk in Vezos Abracha. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened that Yehuda should be allowed to join his nation, which is a reference ultimately to coming to the yeshiva shamala. Lo, so he enters in. Lo hava yada mai kaamri rabbanan lemishkol lemitchapadi rabbanan. Yehuda's sitting in the yeshiva shamala, and he is unable to converse with them. So what happens? Yadav Rav Lo. Moshe Rabbeinu davens again. Literally, Yadav Rav Lo, give him, allow his hands to be great. Which I will say is a reference to his ability to comprehend Torah. He was unable, Yehuda was unable to learn the sugyas, halacha lemaisa. Ve'ezer mitzarav tihyar. Ribono shel olam, give him help in his time of distress. So we'll say, so this is how Moshe Rabbeinu davened. And now we're just going full circle, even though we normally say that the names of the Shvatim that were doubled in Vezos Habracha were doubled because they were weaker. Yehuda's name was also doubled. Yehuda's name was doubled for a different reason, which was why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was davening on his behalf that he be allowed, first of all, rest for his remains in this world, and ultimately full entry into the yeshiva shama, the celestial yeshiva as well. Quite beautiful. Amalei Rabba, the Rabbi Amari. Where do we know this statement that people say, Basar anya, azla aniyusa, that poverty follows the poor? That they both say, sometimes when someone's mazel has been compromised, and they have poverty, that more poverty follows them. Amalei this none, because we learned, Ashirim mevi'in bikurim bekalso shalzav, v'shal kasef. Because when it comes to the kurim, the first fruits, so the rich would bring their first fruits in baskets made of gold and silver. Va'anim, and the poor, bisali nitzarim sha'arava kalufa, would bring their bikurim in baskets made of peeled willow branches. So hasalim va'bikurim nosim la'ganim. We'll say, yet the rich used to get to take back their baskets, and the poor would have to give away their baskets together with the bikurim. So the Gemara says, from here you see that poverty follows the poor, that the poor couldn't even keep their baskets. Now, of course, we know there's another reason why they ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put, there was so much love for the simple baskets of the poor, even more than the baskets of gold and silver of the rich. Nevertheless, again, this is what they're using to support their adage. You say from there, I say from here. I will say, Amud Beis. Amud Beis. Tame Yikra. I will say, so they learned it from the following. The interest of this is by the Mitzor, the person stricken with Saras. So the halacha is he has to call out, Tame. He has to call out and announce the fact that he is Tame. And Rashi says, Lo dai lo nigo. It's not enough that he is afflicted with Saras. Elishim vayish es atzmo. So it's not enough that he's afflicted with tzaras, but he has to further go ahead and exacerbate his busha, his embarrassment, by calling out Tamei Tamei Yikra. So from here you see that, you know, literally poverty follows the poor, or that when one's mazel has been compromised, it ends up being compromised even more. From where is the statement that people say? And I hear this is a Da'am Rabbanah, so this is a rabbinic piece of advice now. Hashkim. The rabbi said, get up early and eat a good breakfast. Eat breakfast in the summertime to protect you against the heat, and eat breakfast in the wintertime to protect you against the cold. Va'amri, and they say, Va'amri and she, shisin rahute rahut. We'll say you could have 60 fast runners and they will never be able to catch up to someone who broke bread in the morning. In other words, that when a person eats a good breakfast, that gives them again a certain amount of energy for the day, and even 60 fast runners can't catch up to them. Okay, so from where do we know that a good breakfast, or we'll say, is the way to start your day? Because the positive, we'll say, you have to understand something. So you ask yourself, really, do we need psukim to teach us that a good breakfast is a good thing? I'm about to say, I have to understand something. When the Gemara does something like this, what the Gemara is ultimately showing is that everything comes from Torah. Even those things that we find intuitive, or even those things that we could kind of come to our own, everything we have in this world, even having a good breakfast, ultimately finds its roots in Torah. Because the pasuk says, over here, the ones are from Yeshaya. Lo yir avu v'lo yitzamu. They will not be hungry, they will not be thirsty. V'lo yakim shrav v'shemesh. Nor will the heat or the sun afflict them. And the end of the pasuk goes on. Fine. So, you learn it from there. We learn it from here. You will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what Avodah is talking about? It's referring to Shema and Shmona Esrei. Uberach es lachmecha ve'esmeimecha. And God will bless your bread and your water. What does that refer to? Zeh pas mamelach v'kiton shamayim. This refers to some bread and salt and to a pitcher of water. From this point in on, v'asirosi machala mekerbecha. If you start off your day with some bread and water, the Shbaruch Hu will remove every sickness from your midst. The Tanya, machala zu mara. Bosei mara is bile, which refers to, so machala refers, right, is to disorders or to sickness that deal with the gallbladder. V'lama nikra shema machala. So why do they call any sickness with the gallbladder a machala? Sheshmonim u'shlosha chaloim yishba. Because we'll say there are 83 things that could go wrong with the gallbladder. And machala begimatria hachiyavah. And we'll say the gematria of machala happens to be 83. Therefore, Chazal chose to refer to gallbladder disorders as a machala because there are 83 different things that could go wrong with the gallbladder. The kulan, and we'll say all of them, pas v'melach shachris, the kiton shanavatna. And we'll say, and if you want good gallbladder health, so apparently all 83 things that could go wrong with a gallbladder can be solved with a little bit of bread and a little bit of water to start off your day. Amazing. And there's no copay for that, they're both saying. No copay for that piece of advice. From where do we know this statement that the rabbi said? It's actually an amazing gemara. Chaverach karyach chamra. If your friend calls you a donkey, Uchpa legabe mush, put a saddle on your back. We will say now, okay, so you're going to see this is a very profound statement. Again, chavruch karya chamra, if your friend calls you a donkey, uchpa legabe mush, put a saddle on your back. Look at Rashi. Chamra, no, sorry, not yet. Yeah, uchpa legabe mush, klomar, tol ukov shal chamar vesira elach. So we'll say, so what's the pshat? Amar lei dechsev, Vayomer, listen to this. Vayomer hagar shifchas sarai, emi zebas va'anatelchi. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying is like this. If somebody calls you a name, so often the reaction to being called a name is what? Is to kind of assume a defensive posture. Either attack back, or try to advance an argument to say why what that person called you is incorrect. Stay with the Gemara says, if someone calls you a name, just be makabalit. Be makabalit. Now, we'll define what that means in just a moment. So where do we know this from? Because it will say, when Hagar runs away from Sarai Imenu, so the Malach appears to her and says, Vayomer Hagar Shifcha Sarai. Even when she ran away, the Malach refers to her as Hagar, the maidservant of Sarai. Maidservant of Sarai. Now, we'll say, now, why is that interesting? Because she ran away. She was a runaway. She was no longer the shivcha of Sarai. She was a free woman. She ran away from her servitude. And yet the Malach still calls her shivchas Sarai. Vatomer and Hagar responded, Mipnei Sarai gevirti ani anochi borachas. And yet, interestingly enough, she says, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. So she still accepts the fact that she is a shivcha. So we'll say, you see from here that when someone calls you a name, put the saddle on your back. Someone calls you, so we'll say, the Ben Yoyada, there's so much to speak about this. The Ben Yoyada says like this, that at the end of the day, sometimes, and he actually brings the right from David HaMelech, he says, you know, when David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, after Avshalom rebelled, David HaMelech made a decision not to fight against his son. So remember, he fled Yerushalayim, and as he's running away, he's met by Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was a cousin of Shaul. Shimi ben Gera comes out cursing David, throwing clods of earth at him, and David's generals want to kill Shimi ben Gera for this incredible lack of respect. David HaMelech says, leave him alone, because David HaMelech felt that what he was saying was a smint from God. And therefore he said, whatever Shimon ben Gera is saying to you, this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to hear. But the Gemara is saying is sometimes when people insult us, so before responding or assuming a defensive posture, the first thing I have to ask myself is there some truth in what the person is saying. Is there some show? So somebody calls me a name, or somebody calls me dishonest, or somebody calls me a lie. So do I have to step back and wonder, is there something within me that this person sees, or is this person maybe a shliach Hashem to be able to give me a certain message? I'm also saying, now, it doesn't mean a person's supposed to be a shmata, or a person's supposed to be a doormat. A person has to know how to stick up and defend their own honor as well. But before I assume the defensive posture, I have to be humble enough to ask myself, is there some semblance of truth in what this person is saying? So if somebody called me a donkey, the first thing I have to ask myself is, do I really wear a saddle? Right? Am I a donkey or not? And therefore, again, Hagar understood that at the end of the day, as much as she ran away, her destiny was to be Shifchas Sarai. She understood this. So she was Makabal the Moser. So too in life, when we're insulted, before we respond or assume defensive posture, I have to ask, is there some truth in what is being said? From where do we know the statement that people say, it's actually a very incredible yisod, that if there's something disparaging about myself, I should say it before anyone else says it about me. In other words, that be forthcoming about your flaws, and don't allow them to be pointed out by others first. Dichsiv, Vayomer Eved Avram Anochi. It was in Parshas Chayisara, where Eliezer comes to find the wife for Yitzchak Avinu. So before the discussions get started, he says, I'm an Eved Avram. And he puts it out there as much as he comes, because also remember, he comes to a faraway land, no one knows him. He could put himself out as being a very chashev individual. He says, I'm an Eved Avram. Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Mari. Minaham Elsi Amri Inshi, Shafil Va'azil Bar Avza, Ve'inei Mitayfi. Both say the goose hangs his head very low, but his eyes peer far. Let's say, how do we know in life that assume a very humble posture, but make sure that you have far-reaching vision? Because we'll say, this is by Avigail. When, remember again, David HaMelech is on the run from Shaul. He asks Nabal for supplies. Nabal says no in a very disparaging manner. David and his men are ready to kill Nabal. Avigail says to David, please do not kill my husband. But again, perhaps he will remember me in the future for good. Avigail again saw Baruch HaKodesh that one day she would be married to David HaMelech. And so she assumes a very humble posture, but her eyes peered far. And then she said, when the time comes, please remember me for good. From where do we know this statement that people say? Shisin tichle matya lekacha dikal chavre shama v'lo acha. That there are 60 different types of aches that a tooth endures when it hears its friend eating and it doesn't get to eat. So what does that mean? That there's a certain ache that happens when you hear someone else enjoying a good meal and you do not get the opportunity to partake of it as well. Let's say, just, you know, the Ben Yehoyada, we don't have time for it, but the Ben Yehoyada has a whole piece over here that he's not referring to anything to do with a physical meal, but rather, again, it's actually referring to Talmud Torah. But all right, we'll have to save it for a different time. So where do we do? But again, you can even understand this on a very basic level, that there's a pain. My teeth ache when I hear someone having a good meal and I don't get to partake of it. We know it's from Arlei Dixiv, Veli, Ani Abdecha, Letzadoka, Koni, Lebanah, Ben Yoyado, Shoma Abdecha, Lo Kara. So this is talking about, again, by Nasan Hanavi, when he tells David HaMelech that Adonio Ben Chagis has proclaimed himself as king, and he made a suda and he didn't invite any of us to it. You say from there, we say from here. By Yitzchak Ohela Sari Imo, Yitzchak Avinu brought Rivka to the tent of Sarah his mother. Vayikach Rivka, Vayikach as Rivka, Vatilo liisha vayehave. And Vanechem Yitzchak Acharemo, Yitzchak took Rivka as a wife. He loved her, and he was consoled for his mother. And afterwards, what is it? Zig Sibasrei. By Yosef Abram, by Yikach Isho Shmo Kitura. Abram Avinu Osmer. So we'll say, you see from here that what? That when one hears, now the Gemara uses a meal as a euphemism. When one hears that someone, that his friend is enjoying something, it amplifies the fact that he doesn't have that same thing. So again, Abram Avinu sees that Yitzchak gets married and he's happy and he's in love, it amplifies Avraham Avinu's loneliness since the death of Sara Imenu, and propels him ultimately again to marry again, this time to marry Keturah. Amali Rabba the Rabba Amari. Minahan Losimri in Shifra. When do we know the statement that people make? This is amazing, Gemara also. Chamra Limari Tivusa Lashakye. That sometimes on both sides, a person gets wine from the master, but yet his gratitude is expressed to the steward. Rosa, what does that mean? The steward is the one who pours me the wine. So the steward is not the balabas, right? Yet, often my gratitude is expressed towards the steward because he gives me the wine rather than to the master, ultimately, again, who actually owns the wine. Let's say, so you understand, by the way, the profundity of this lesson, how sometimes we express hakaras hatov ultimately to people who do good things for us, which is important, without expressing proper gratitude to the owner, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one who makes all good things happen. Amalei Dechsev, V'samachto as yadcha alof, because we'll say the Kashmir says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you shall place your hands upon him, a reference to Yoshua, in order that the people will listen to him and ultimately will fear him. Uksiv Yoshua ben Nun Mali Rachma ki samach Moshe es yadav alav vayishmu elav kol bnei Yisrael. The pasuk says that ultimately Klal Yisrael listened to Yoshua. Why? Because they saw that Moshe placed his hands upon him. The pasuk, obviously, it was not really Moshe who conveyed greatness to Yoshua, but rather, again, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet what? The people went ahead and were machzik tova. They assumed that it was Moshe Rabbeinu who made Yoshua great and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say in a very important yisod in general, how careful in life, yes, you should express your gratitude towards the steward as well. That's important. But always to make sure to express proper gratitude, ultimately, to the master, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From where do we know this adage that people say, Kalba b'knafya galali miboy mivla, that a dog who is hungry will even swallow stones. In other words, we'll say when a dog is very hungry, a man shall eat anything. Dechsev nefesh savea tavos nofes. So we'll say a sated nefesh. In other words, someone who is full, who is sated, will trample over honeycombs. In other words, will not even eat sweet things. The nefesh re'eva kolmar masik. But we'll say when someone is hungry, even that which is bitter becomes sweet. From where do we know the statement that people say? Metayil va'azil dikla bisha gabekina disarchi. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Kina Desarchi, Rashi says, Ilanos Betelen Vein Osim Pri, Kimo Gavra de Shikra Bato, Kolomar Derech Dekel Ra, Ligadl Bitsad Ilan Srak. So literally, let's read it again. Dikla Bisha, a bad palm tree, Gabi Kina Desarchi, often grows by barren trees. In other words, we'll say that a barren tree that produces no fruit, so a dekel, the palm tree that grows next to it, is not going to be fruitful either. Amalei Davarzek Kasul B'Torah Shanoi B'Neviim U'Meshulash Piksuim V'Tarma Masnisin V'Tanina B'Braisa. So we'll say this matter is taught in the Torah, Neviim, Ksuvim, Mishnayis, and Braisa. We'll say, so this lesson, of course, seems to be a lesson of Ayla Rasha, Ayla Shechino. Right? If the tree is barren, then the palm tree that would normally produce such beautiful dates will be barren as well. So the Gemara says, what do we know? It's from Dechsev, Vayelech Esav al Yishmael. So we'll say, ultimately, when Esav goes to find the wife, he goes to Yishmael. So we'll say again, Yishmael was not a good person. Esav ultimately, again, see, Yishmael was the barren tree. Esav, who was the palm, who could have produced dates, because he aligns himself with Yishmael and finds way from Yishmael, ultimately doesn't produce dates either. Shamei ben Neviim, we learn this in the Neviim, the Siv, Vayislaktu al Yiftach anoshim reikim, Vayhi imo. There was a Yiftach, right, gathered around him, actually the anoshim reikim, the empty people, gathered around Yiftach. So we'll say again, all of these are examples of people gravitating towards their owner. If the tree is barren, ultimately, again, the date tree will become barren as well. Meshulash b'ksuvim d'chsiv kol of lemino yishkon. Ubnei adam l'dome lo. Because we'll say the pasuk says, every bird resides with its kind, ubnei adam ledom elo, and people gravitate towards people of their own kind as well. Tanah b'masnisin, we learned in a Mishnah, kol hamechuber l'tamei tamei, kol hamechuber l'tar tar. We'll say whatever is attached to something that is tamei, itself is tamei, and whatever is attached to something that is tar, remains tar. Tanah b'braisa, we learned it in a braisa, b'lezer omer, lo l'chinam halak zarzir, eitzal orev ela mipnei shehu minar. B'lezer says that it is not for nothing that the zarzir, we'll say the zarzir is a starling, that this type of bird, that the starling went over, that the starling resides next to the raven, next to the orev, rather because it was the same way that the orev is a non-kosher bird. So because the zarzir gravitates towards the raven, the zarzir is also reckoned as an unkosher species. And Rabbi Rashi just points out, just as an aside, I have seen machlokes in Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanon, whether or not the zarzir is a kosher bird. The Rabbanon hold this kosher. Rabbi Elazar says it's not. And Rabbi Elazar's raya that a zarzir is not kosher is because it gravitates, it always resides next to the raven. So the fact that it resides next to a non-kosher species is indicative of the fact that it's not kosher itself. Amali Rabba Lunar Baramari, Nahamasami Inshi, Karis Khabra Falo Anach, Rami Guda Rabba Shade Bay. Shabbos say, how do we know? So this statement that we say, Karis Khabra, if you call out to your friend and he doesn't answer, Shabbos means if you try to give your friend advice, right, to save him from doing harm to himself, and he does not answer, Shabbos say he does not heed the advice, Guda Rabba Shade Bay. Throw a large wall at him. Which Shabbos say means, in simple language, that if you try to give a person advice, but the person does not want to heed the advice, at some point in time you just have to leave them to their own devices. And whatever happens, happens. Amalei, because the Pasuk says, Yan tartich v'lo taharta mitumaseich, lo tatari od. I tried to purify you, but you did not purify yourself from your impurity, therefore you will not be purified anymore. Now, there's also an incredible yisod in life. That's not as, even a Chodesh Baruch who says, look, I tried to help, I tried to give you the right hadracha, but if you don't listen, at some point I have to leave you to your own devices. If it's true with God, it's true with one another as well. We have to try to give people proper hadracha in life, try to give people proper advice, but at some point in time, if a person chooses not to take advice, then ultimately, again, we have to leave them to their own devices. So we'll stop over here for today, and Meretz Hashem will pick up right with this commemorative tomorrow. Shkoyach.